Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Shabbos Daf Samach Beis. We're at the third line from the top. Says the Gemara, Elo hocha b'mayaskinon. The Gemara is answering your question. How come one may enter a Beis HaKisei bathroom with a kamiya, an amulet strapped himself, although the amulet, the kamiya, contains psukim kisvei kodesh? How come one is allowed to bring it into a Beis HaKisei? Says the Gemara, you know why? Elo, rather, hocha b'mayaskinon, we're speaking about b'mechufa oyer, that these psukim are covered with oyer, with leather, they're encased in a leather covering, and therefore they're properly covered and concealed, and one may enter with them in Beis HaKisei. Says the Gemara, is that so? The leather case is sufficient? Very tefillin, the mechupa'er. What about tefillin, the parshas of tefillin, the scrolls that are contained inside the bias, inside the leather compartment of the tefillin? It is covered with leather. Nevertheless, v'tani, we learned in the Brais, ha'nichnas l'Beis HaKisei, one who wishes to enter Beis HaKisei, choylets tefillin. He needs to remove his tefillin, berochak arba amos, at a distance of 4 amos, v'nichnas, and only then enter. Apparently, a leather casing is not sufficient. Says the Gemara, Hasa Mishum Shin. By tefillin, we have an additional concern. It's not only the parshas, the scrolls that we're concerned about, which in this case wouldn't pose a concern because they're covered. Rather, the concern there is on account of the shin, the letter shin, which is formed on the outside of the bais of the tefillin shorosh, and is one of the letters of Hashem's name. It is what the first letter of the Shem, Shakai, Shin, and Dalad, and Yud. So the Shin has Kedusha. And therefore, on account of that, he must remove his tefillin outside the Beis HaKisei. The Omer Abaye, as Abaye taught us, Shin Shel Tefillin, Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. This Shin, which is formed on the outside of the tefillin, was taught to us by Moshe, handed down from Sinai. V'Omer Abaye, Dalad Shel Tefillin, Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, the letter Dalad, which is formed by tying the straps on the back of the shorosh in a certain way, that is also taught by us, was taught by Moshe, handed down from Sinai. The same thing regarding the Yud, the Rabbi Yud Shel Tefillin, which is formed by using the strap near the Tefillin Shel Yad, that is also Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. So, on account of these letters, which have Kedusha, the Shem Hashem, the Shin, and the Dalad, and the Yud, one may not bring the Tefillin into the Beis HaKisei, but merely an account of the scrolls, there wouldn't be any concern because they're encased in a leather encasing. Now, Tosfos brings Raya's. He proves that it's actually not the Dalad and the Yud we're concerned about. They're not considered to be Oisiyos. Rather, it's only the Shin, which is considered to be a proper letter, has a din of an Ois, and therefore cannot be brought into Beis HaKisei. In fact, Tosfos and Menachos, it's uncertain. He says it's a suffix whether this restriction of bringing the tefillin to Beis HaKisei perhaps only applies to the shorosh, which has that shin present on the outside of it. But as far as the shel yad, perhaps there will be no concern. Now the Mefarshim asks Akasha here. The Gemara here tells us that when the psukim are merely covered with one covering, it is sufficient to allow entry to Beis HaKisei. How does this Gemara fit with the Gemara Brachas, which tells us that in such a situation, we would require a double covering, a kis b'sech kis, since the first covering here is designated to be used as a covering for these scrolls, etc. They're considered to be batal. We need an additional covering. So why does Gemara here tell us that one covering is sufficient? So the Mefarshim tell us that here it's different, because here it's not merely a covering, an ordinary covering. Rather, the kamiya is concealed in leather, which is sealed tightly shut. It's sewn shut, for instance. And like the tefillin as well, they're sewn shut. They're not meant to be opened and the scrolls to be taken out. In this case, it is a more significant enclosure, and even one enclosure, one concealment, is sufficient to isolate the Dvarim Shebekdusha from the surrounding environment and to allow entry with them in a Beis HaKisei. The Gemara continues as follows, V'loi b'shuryon, V'loi b'kasto, V'loi b'magafayim. So these are things that may not be worn on Shabbos. Says, well, what exactly do these things mean? Shuryon is a zarda, body armor. Kasto is a merav san, Varasa, it's some form of leather cap worn underneath the soldier's helmet. And Magafayim are Amarav Pazmiki, some leg armor. So although the soldier would wear these things during battle, nevertheless the Chachamim prohibited one from wearing this on Shabbos, because they don't really look like ordinary malbusha, ordinary attire, and therefore the Chachamim prohibited this from being worn on Shabbos in Rosh Hashanah. Continues the Mishnah, Lo yiseitze isha b'machat hanukuva. So up until now, we discussed various accessories, tachshitin, which an isha should not wear in Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, not because they constitute a masui, a load min haTorah, but rather because min derabbanan there's a concern that perhaps she might remove it to display it to her friend, and this may result in the tachshit being carried in Rosh Hashanah. This Mishnah, however, will list us some examples of items which may not be worn on Shabbos. Min haTorah, they're considered to be a load, a masui, and if one does that, he's chayv chatas. For instance, says the Mishnah, Lo yiseitze isha b'machat hanukuva, she should not go out wearing a machat, a pin, hanukuva, which is pierced. V'loy b'tabas, nor with a ring, sheyesh alei achosam, which contains a chosam, a sealy signet. These things are not considered to be tachshitin for an isha. V'loy b'chulyar, not with this type of clasp, v'loy b'kayveles, with a spice bundle, v'loy b'sleich shapaliyata, in a container containing this, Rashi calls it mishchad afarsama, this shemen afarsama, this balsam oil. V'yemiyatasa, if she goes out wearing these items, chayeves chatos, she needs to be a chatos, divir emeir, who contends, these are considered to be a maso yelot. So min atira, she did a malach. V'chachamim, paitrim, they say, we agree with the other ones, but we disagree regarding these last two items. They exempt b'kayveles, with this spice bundle, b'stoichu shepal yotain, with this container, a fragrance. They maintain that these are considered to be tachshitin, accessories. So min haTorah, they're not considered to be a masui. They're tachshitin. Min derabbanan, however, one may not wear them, and they go into the same category, the other tachshitin, that there's a concern of removal for display and being carried to Sarabim. So min derabbanan, she should not wear even these last two items. Continues the Gemara, Amar Ula, v'chilufeyen bi'ish. These two halachas regarding these two types of rings, the one with a chosam, the one without a chosam, are switched around by a man. Meaning, if when it comes to an isha, we say that the tabas that has a chosam is considered to be a load, a masoi. Why? Because it's not customary for an isha to wear this type of ring with a signet. However, a ring that has no chosam is regarded as a tachshit for an isha. This halacha, these halachas, will be reversed when it comes to an ish, to a man. A tabas that has a chosam is considered to be a tachshit because it is customary for an ish to wear this type of tabas. However, one that has no chosam, that has no signet, for an ish, is considered to be a masoi lot. Once again, Amar Ula b'chilufein b'ish. These halachas will be switched around, reversed by a man. Apparently, Ula holds, Kol midi dechazel ish, anything which is suitable for a man and regarded as a tachshit, as an accessory, lo yichazel isha, is not considered to be suitable for an isha, meaning we don't regard it as a tachshit. Halachically, we don't regard it as a tachshit for an isha, and if she should wear this item, although for an ish is considered to be a tachshit, she is chayef chatas, for her it's considered to be a load. Umidi de chazel isha, the same thing in the reverse, something which is suitable for an isha. For instance, a tabas that has no signet is regarded as a tachshit, as an item of ornament for an isha. Le chazel ish is not regarded as suitable for the ish. We don't consider it to be a tachshit for the ish. We don't say, well, once this item has a din of tachshit for an ish or for an isha, this status applies to all. No, we differentiate between the ish and the isha. Masif Rav Yosef, I have a kasha, I have a brisa which seems to indicate otherwise. Once the status has been established with regard to one person, it has the same halacha with regards to everybody else as well. The brisa says as follows: Haroyim shepherds yoytzim besaket may go out wearing sackcloth, which protects them from the rain. V'loy haroyim belvadamru, not only shepherds. Ela kol adam, any person, can go out on Shabbos wearing sackcloth, even though it's not customary for ordinary people to wear this type of attire. Nevertheless, since the Royim use it, it has a din of tachshish for everybody. Once again, this halacha was not only said for Royim specifically, Ella Kaladam, anybody can do so. Ella Shadarkam Shala Royim Yot Latis Vesakin. Why then does the Braisa mention Royim? Because it is their derech for the Royim to go out wearing these sackcloth. Says Rashi. Let's take a look inside. This is Rashi, 22 lines from the top. Rashi Dibar Masal Ella Kaladam. Alma, apparently, even though ordinary people are not accustomed to wearing the sackcloth, nevertheless, they're allowed to. Migu, since the legabe hai takshit, since for one person we regard it as a takshit, meaning shepherds ordinarily wear this, so therefore it doesn't have a din of a load. Legabe hai nami takshitu. Also regarding other people, regarding somebody else, it also has the same status. We don't change the halachic status of the object depending on who's wearing it. Once it has a din of a takshit, that din is applied to all equally. So why then, with regard to rings, do we draw a distinction between men and women? For instance, if the ring that has a chosam is considered to be a takshit for a man, so even if a woman should wear it, it should be considered as a takshit, should not be considered as a masui. Ela Omer Yosef, because Savar Ula holds that generally speaking, yeah, we don't differentiate between people. This is different. Men and women are different. Noshim am b'fnei atzmanin. Ula holds that women are considered to be a am b'fnei atzman, a nation on their own. Now, what does this mean? Meaning, with regards to attire, to garments, to clothing, men and women have different natures, different characters, different purposes for wearing their clothing. So, the actual clothing that they wear reflects their divergent, distinct, unique natures, personalities, and characters. Therefore, we can't draw an analogy between men and women with regards to clothing, with regards to takshitim. Something which is a takshit for an isha remains a takshit only for an isha and not for an ish. And the same thing in the reverse. When it comes to clothing and takshitim, we don't equate men and women. And each one has their own halachic status and their own halachic category. So true indeed with regard to the sackcloth that the shepherds wear, that is permitted for anybody. We don't differentiate. When it comes to attire which is appropriate for men and not for women and vice versa, we differentiate. Each one has its own classification, its own category, and its own halachic status. Is that so? We're not meant to equate between men and women? We learned as follows. One who finds tefillin on Shabbos, out in the open, out in Shusha Rabim, Mach Nisan Zugzug. He may wear it a pair at a time and bring it into safety in that manner. This applies to a man and to a woman equally. Now, one second. A woman obligated in Mitzvah Tefillin? Does Mitzvah Tefillin apply to women equally as it does to men? If you maintain with regards to malbushim, to clothing, to takshitim, women are regarded as a separate entity, a separate category, a separate nation. So how do you allow them to wear the tefillin on Shabbos? The reason why you wear tefillin on Shabbos, the reason why it's not considered to be a masay load, because we regard it as a malbush, as a garment, as an article of attire. But tefillin for women is not considered to be a malbush. It's not considered to be a takshit. Tefillin is a mitzvah, which is a time-dependent mitzvah, because it's not meant to be worn at night, nor on Shabbos. And we know that every mitzvah that is time dependent does not apply to women. Any mitzvah sase, that is hazman grama. V'chol mitzvah sase shazman grama noshim pturis. So tefillin is not incumbent on women, and therefore we should not regard it as a takshit, as a malbush for an isha, because it's not meant for her. So how can an isha wear tefillin on Shabbos in Rosh Hashanah and bring it into safety in that manner? It should be considered to be a load for women. Says the Gemara, Hasam Kasavar Meir. The halacha there reflects the sheet of Rav Meir, who holds that Laila is man tefillin. Laila is the proper time to wear tefillin, meaning there's no restriction of day as opposed to night. It is not restricted to daytime. Nighttime, Laila is also the appropriate time to wear tefillin. And Shabbos as well, v'Shabbos man tefillin hu. So tefillin is meant to be worn all around the clock, 24/7. Aside when a person is actually sleeping. But the one means to say it's not restricted to Yom as opposed to Laila. And if so, if it's not time dependent, havale mitzvah zeh shel zman groma. If so, tefillin is not time dependent, and applies to women equally. V'chol mitzvah zeh shel zman groma. Any mitzvah zeh which is not fueled by zman, which is not time dependent, noshim chayovis, applies to women equally as to men. Therefore, we understand the halacha there that Nisha can wear the tefillin. It's not regarded as a masri because it's considered to be an accessory for an isha, just as it is for a man, because she's also chayiv mitzvah tefillin. Okay, now let's go back to our Mishnah. We learn now, Mishnah, an isha wears a tabas, sheyesh alei choysam, which carries a choysam. She's chayiv chatas. Why? Because it's not appropriate for the isha, it's not customary for an isha to wear this type of tabas. Says, okay, I understand, it's not considered to be a tachshit, it's considered to be a masui, but let's pay attention to the details of how she's wearing it. She has it placed on her finger. This is not considered to be an ordinary way of carrying something, which is rabim. It's considered to be an indirect itzah. It's considered to be a backward itzah. Klacha means an indirect way of carrying. It's on her finger, it's not in the palm of her hand, which we consider to be the ordinary way of carrying something, which is rabim. Therefore, why is she chayef chatas? When something is done indirectly, it's not considered to be a true malacha. Omer of Yirmiyah, you know why? Be'isha gizbaris askinan. This Mishnah is speaking about an isha who's a gizbaris, so a manager. And she sends sealed letters with her underlings, and she sends packages, etc. So she uses the tabah, she'esh al-chaysan, for her business. And although it's not really regarded as a tachshit, it's not something of an article of ornament for an isha, as we discussed, nevertheless, since she needs it, she requires it for her dealings. And when she deals with this tabah, she places it on her finger. It is customary for her to wear it in that manner. Therefore, for this isha, specifically, wearing a tabas, sheyesh lechoysam, on her finger is considered to be derech haitzah, derech, to wear it in that manner. And if she does it in Shesurabim, it's considered to be a direct carrying, not an indirect ma'isa haitzah, but rather a derech haitzah, and she's chayv achatas. Omar Rabba, Tiras the Isha. Okay, you've explained why the Isha is chayev, because we're speaking about this unique woman who is accustomed to wearing this type of ring on her finger for her business purposes. Ish, Ma'ikil Meimar. How are you going to explain the man? We learned before that a man who wears a tabas without a choysam is considered to be a masay for him, and he's chayev achatas. But it's considered to be indirect. It's like derech haitzah. He's wearing it around his finger. Says Gemara, Ela Marava. I'll give you an explanation which applies equally to an isha and to an ish. Number one, pa'amim, occasionally ish adam neisim le'ishtoi tabas. A person will give his ring, the ring sheish alei chaysam, which carries this chaysam, not for her to wear and take outside, but rather le'licha le'kufsa, merely to take it and put it into the chest. Now, while she's on the way to the chest, some say she would place it on her finger, perhaps to ensure the safekeeping of this ring. She places it on her finger until she arrives at the chest. So indeed, occasionally it is the derech. It is the usual manner for an isha to wear this type of ring on her finger as well. The same thing in the reverse, occasionally. She'isha neisenes labala tabas. A woman may give her ring to her husband, tabas she'en alei choysam, which does not contain a signet, which is considered to be attached for the isha, but not for the ish. She gives it to him, lo licha, etzel uman, to bring it to the craftsman, lesak, and to repair it. And what does he do with this ring while he's walking? Uman nicha biyadai, etzel magi, etzel uman, he places it around his finger until he arrives to the uman, to the craftsman. So therefore, according to Rav's approach, since we find that on occasion, a woman may wear on her finger a tabas with a signet. A man may wear on his finger a tabas without a signet. It's considered to be derech. And therefore, if they do so in Shesurabim, they are liable for chatas. It's considered to be derech haitzah and considered to be a full-fledged malacha min hatera. So in summary, we learned halacha regarding a tabas, a ring, which brings about a chiv chatos if one is just a rabbi. How is that so? So if an ish wears a tabas that has no chosam, that's considered to be inappropriate for an isha, not customary for an ish to wear this thing, inappropriate for an ish, not considered to be a derech, takshet for an ish, and therefore he is chayiv chatos. Why is it considered to be a derech itzah? Because occasionally he will wear a ring without a chosam on his finger when he takes it to craftsmen, to the uman. An isha who wears a tabas with a chosam, that is considered to be a load for her, a masu, and she's chayiv chatos. Why is it considered to be derech itzah? The Gemara concluded with Rava telling us because an isha occasionally will wear a ring on her way to depositing the ring into the chest. So although it's a ring she'ein ala chosam, which is appropriate for a man, but since on occasion she'll wear it around the finger as well, it's considered to be derech itzah. We actually had another terrorist in the Gemara of Yirmiyahu who told us that an isha who is a gizbaris, a manager who does wear this type of ring within her business dealings, although we don't regard it as a takshet, but nevertheless considered to be derech itzah and she's chayiv. The Gemara told us that sackcloth may be worn by any person. Since the shepherds wear it, that heter, that status of takshet or malbish applies to anybody. The Gemara told us that according to Reb Meir, since tefillin is incumbent even on women, anybody can go ahead and bring in the tefillin from Rosh Hashanah and wearing it one period at a time. It's not considered to be a masu load, whether an ish or an isha wears it. It's considered to be a takshet and not a masu. Now it's interesting to note, what about the din of an ish going out wearing a tachshit on Shabbos? According to Rashi, just like an isha cannot wear her tachshitin on Shabbos for concern that she might remove it and display it to her friend, and this may result in the item being carried in Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, Rashi maintains that this isra applies to men as well. An ish may not go out wearing his tachshit on Shabbos. Tosfos, other Rishonim disagree with Rashi. They hold that the isra only applies to an isha and not to an ish. This concern of removal for display apparently doesn't apply to a man. It's not his nature to do so. It's below his dignity. He wears his articles on him and displays it in that manner. He doesn't remove it to actually show it to his friend. Therefore, a man, an ish, may go out wearing a tachshit. In Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, for instance, a tabas, the sheyesh lechosam, which has a signet on it, which is considered to be a tachshit for an ish, that may be worn on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. The Mishnah gave us a couple of other examples of things which are regarded as a masu, a load, for an ishan Shabbos. V'loy b'chol yor, she may not go on wearing this chol yor, v'loy b'chay veles. Says, well, my chol yor, what is this? Amar Rav Machvanta, it's a certain type of clasp, which the isha uses to clasp together, close her garment with it. Apparently it has no ornamental value, the Mepharshim say it's not made out of gold, so it's considered to be a masu. What is the other thing? Kaivelas? Amar Rav Chumrasa, a bundle, the filan of filan, Rashi says it's a sam, a certain type of fragrance, a type of spice. Shishmai filan, Berechai Orev, has a pleasant odor. And who wears it? Isha Sherecha Ra Toyenes Aleha. A woman who is suffering from a unpleasant odor will wear this bundle on herself to do away with the unpleasant Reach. What is the definition of kaivelas? Chumrasa, the feline, this bundle of spice. Ton rabban lo yisei se isha b'kaivelas. A person, a woman, should not go out wearing this bundle of spice. V'miyatasa, she does so, chayevas chatas. Diver Rameh, because according to Rameh, is regarded as a masoi, Rameh holds. It's not considered to be a tachshit, an accessory, because it is only meant for this specific circumstance of an isha, sherechara. Therefore, it doesn't attain the quality, the status of a tachshit. The Chacham Rahim, yes, is considered to be a tachshit. Because any woman who is suffering from this condition, it's appropriate for her to wear it. Therefore, it's not considered to be an odd thing. It's considered to be appropriate for this type of situation. And therefore, it's regarded as a tachshit. The Chacham Rahim, certainly she may not go out wearing it. But if she does so, she's pata, we don't regard it as a masu, but rather as a tachshit. And it falls into the category of other types of tachshitin, which are asur, merely midrabban. So we have two shittas. Rameh says, chatas. Rabbanan say, she's pata. Rabbi Elazar, Eimer, Yoitza Isha B'Kevelas L'chatchila. Initially, she's allowed to wear this Kevelas. Says Rabbi Mike Mifligi. What is it? What is the background, the basis, the understanding of these various shittas? We have from one extreme to the other, Chatas, Pater, and Mutal L'chatchila. Explains it more. Rabbi Meir Savar, Masu Yoy is considered to be a load, since not worn, it's not worn by ordinary women. Rabbanon Sari Tachshitu is considered to be an accessory. However, Mid Rabbanon, it may not be worn, just like other Tachshitu. V'dilma Shalva Mechvaya, there's a concern that perhaps she will remove it and display it to her friend. V'osei L'suya, and she may come to carry it to the Rabbi. Therefore, if she wears it, if she's not allowed to, but she wears it, she's Potter. Reb Leza Savar, there's no concern whatsoever of removal. Why? Man Darka little Mermaid, who is accustomed to wearing this spice bundle? It's not your typical woman. It's Isha Sharechara, an Isha who's suffering from unpleasant odor. Says Reb Leza, she won't remove it. She won't call attention to her situation. It's embarrassing. Isha Sharechara, loy shofa mechvaya, she won't remove it to display. V'loy osi asuya abam is shusram, she won't come to carry shusram. Therefore, going to Reb Elazar is allowed even lechatchila. Says more, is that so? According to Reb Elazar, she's allowed to wear it even lechatchila. V'atanya, but haven't we learned in the Braisa? Reb Elazar poiter. Reb Elazar says, Reb Elazar exempts b'koyvelis u'b'shlechus shabal yotan. Reb Elazar says, if one wears a spice bundle or this container containing this fragrant oil, this person, this isha, is potter. Apparently, it's only a ptur, it's only an exemption from echatas. But lechatchila, certainly there's an Isser. There's an Isser like any other Tachshit. So how do we reconcile this contradiction? First, Reb Elazar says, it's Mutal Chathchila. In this Braisa, Reb Elazar indicates that it is also Chathchila. Says, Malay Kash, it's not difficult. In reality, Reb Elazar holds, it's Mutal Chathchila. Why this discrepancy in his language? It depends who he is addressing. Loy Kash, Ho Ki Koi Adra Meir. In the second Braisa, Reb Elazar uses the word poiter. Apparently, he's just exempting from echatas, but not allowing. That's because he's addressing Reb Meir. He's addressing Reb Meir who holds that there's a chiv chatas. Reb Elazar counters by saying, no, there's no chiv chatas, he's poiter. Therefore, he uses that language, even though in reality he holds that it's mutal chatchil. So that explains Braisa number two. However, in Braisa number one, he's relating to the Rabbanim, who maintain that it's aser. Reb Elazar responds to them and says, no, it's not Asr, it's Mutal Chathchil. Says Amar, in the first Braisa, Ki Koyad Rabbanim. He's relating to Rabbanim. And therefore, he's coming to contrast their words. As opposed to they who say that it's Asr, I say it's Mutal. Explains Amar, Ki Koyad Rab Meir, when he relates to Rab Meir, the Amar Chayef Chatas, who maintains that the Isha is Chayef Chatas on account of wearing these items, Amar Le Potter. Reb Elazar responds by saying, no, there's no Chayef Chatas, she's Potter. However, Ki Koyad Rabbanim, when he's responding to Rabbanim, the Amri Potter also who say, yeah, there's no Chiv Chatas, but it is Asr. Omar Iu, if so, he responds, Reb Elazar responds by saying, Mutal Chathchila, I hold that it is Mutal even in the Chathchila. So in reality, Reb Elazar holds that certainly these items are Mutal to be won even in the Chathchila, because there's no concern whatsoever of removal on account of his embarrassment, as mentioned earlier. Says more, Umayra Meir. Now, what do we find that in Braisa number 2, where Reb Elazar says Potter, what do we find Rameir's name mentioned there without the Rabbanim? What do we find, in what context was Rameir's response? What do we find this Braisa? Says Mormai Rameir, the Sani is written in Braisa, Lo Yisei Tzei Isha Ma'afteach Shebiyada, an Isha should not go into Shiz Rabim wearing a key around her finger. Ve'im Yatsasa Chayev Eschatas, it's considered to be a load. Divrei Rav Meir, Reb Elazar poiter b'koyvelas u'b'slechus shabayotan. Reb Elazar says, if an isha goes out wearing the spice bundle, the koyvelas, or the container with the balsam oil, she's potter. Says, well, what do you mean? What's Reb Elazar talking about? Who discussed these items? Koyvelas, man dechar shema, who even mentioned this koyvelas? Why is Reb Elazar responding about a koyvelas? Says, Zumar chisur mechsa, we meant to interpret the Braisa with some missing words. Vachiktani. This is how the Braisa is meant to be read. Ramea starts off by saying that Isha wears the ring, she's chayef chatas. V'chein b'kevelas, v'chein b'slechus shabayotan. not only the ring, also the chayveles, the spice bundle, and also the tzlech shopayotin. All these three items, lo yiseitzei, should not be worn, she should not wear it, she's to rabim. Ve'imiyatzes ha'chayev schatas. Divir Rameya. Rabbi Lezer responds on the two last items. Rabbi Lezer poiter be'chayveles, ve'tzlech shopayotin. Rabbi Lezer says that if an isha goes out wearing the spice bundle or the container with the polyotin, the balsam oil, she is potter. So here we have the context in which Rabbi Lezer responds directly to Rabbi Meir, and therefore he uses the words of poiter, because Rabbi Meir says chayiv. Rabbi Lezer responds by saying she's potter, even though in reality he holds this is mutter, even lechatchila is considered to be a takshit, and there's no concern of removal. The Baisa continues, when does Rabbi Lezer say that it is initially mutter, permissible, for an isha to wear these items on Shabbos, these items that contain the fragrance, when they contain the boysim, because the fragrance is serving a purpose, it's dispelling the unpleasant odor, and the kli, the container, that is containing this fragrance is also considered to be part of the tachshit, because he's not wearing the kli for its own sake, he's wearing the container on account of the contents. So again, this only applies when there is a content, when there is boisim in there. Avol ein boim boisim, but if they are free, they're empty of any fragrance, she's merely carrying this container, chayeves, that even according to Rabbi Lezer, she's chayev. So even though the container still has some smell, it absorbed the good fragrance of the contents that were contained therein beforehand, nevertheless, since right now there's nothing there, there's no actual, tangible fragrance there, it's like as though she's simply carrying a container with herself, it's considered to be a master, a load, and she's chayv. Omar Avad Barav, Zoy Seymeris, we can infer from here regarding a different halach. Perhaps let's take a look at Rashi inside, who explains this thoroughly. Rashi is on the third line from the top. Rashi divar masal zoy semeres. So this teaches us, we infer from here, ha diktani, ein ba boisim chayeves. This is what we just learned. As according to Rabbi Lezer, if this container has no boisim, no fragrance present inside, she is chayev on account of the container. Alma the kasavar Rabbi Lezer, apparently Rabbi Lezer holds, hamoitzi oichlam b'shabbos b'kli. If one was to carry out food in a kli, pachas mikashir, where the food is less than the minimum requirement, deloy mechayev al atzoyes oichen, pachas mikogeres kol kaman, as we learned later in the Mishnah, what is the minimum requirement of food? The shear, the size of a dried fig. If one carries food which is less than that minimum requirement, it has less quantity than the size of the dried fig, it's not considered to be a malacha itzah regarding the food itself. However, what about the container? Chayav mi'alakli is chayav on account of the container. But look, I mean, we don't say ha'kli tafelahem. The kli is butthole, subordinate, secondary to the content, and that should result in an exemption. But look, mechayav alei, and it should not be chayav on account of the kli. Why? Because shleim is kavan lohitzi. He has no kavan, no intention of carrying out elam shem oichlan. He's only doing this, the carrying, on account of the content of the food. So therefore, he should not be chayiv on the container. The container is not there for its own sake, for its own purpose. It's merely there to contain the food. Uplukti astam mishnah. This seems to be a machlekes, disputing a anonymous mishnah. Hashnuyu perikam atzneh, which is learned later on Zaf Tzadik Emo. Diktani, which tells us, potaf al kli. Mishnah tells us that if one carries a small, minuscule amount of food, a less than minimum requirement of food in a kli, not only is he potter for the small amount of oichlan, which is not significant enough to be considered to be a melacha itzah, the kli as well is potter, because the kli is bottle, is tafel to the content. He has no kavana, he has no purpose and intention of carrying out the kli for its own sake. Therefore, it's bottle, it's subordinate to the content, and he's potter on both accounts, on the kli as well as on its content. Says the Gemara, we learn from Rabbi Lezer that he disagrees with that Mishnah. He holds, and even if one carries a small amount of content in a kli, the content has no significance. It's less than the required quantity to be considered a melacha b'tzah. Nevertheless, the kli itself is regarded as a sort of separate entity, and he's chayv on account of the kli. How do we see that? Let's continue to the next rash. The ha ein boy boysim. In our case, where the container, the spice bundle, or the sleichish or palyata in the container, which is meant to have the balsam oil in it, it has nothing in it, right? Says Rashi, do ein boy boysim ke pachas mekishir dami. It's as though it's less than the required amount. Why? There's still something there. It's less than the required quantity. There's nothing tangible, but there's still some scent which was absorbed into the walls of the container. Shakli kolet es areich. It absorbed the scent. So it's less than the required amount, which is kosher. You need at least a little bit tangible besamim for the chiv chatas on account of the besamim. V'shir itzos besamim bekosher. What is the minimum required amount for besamim for chiv chatas? You need a kosher. You need a little bit, but a tangible besamim. In this case, there's no kosher. The kimish ain't a kosher. It's less than a kosher because there's nothing tangible there. Have a recha, the scent which was absorbed into this container, is pachas megashir. It's considered to be less than the required amount. Uktani chayeves. Rabbi Leza tells us she's chayev on account of the container. For lo yamin, we don't say nasakli tafal reach shebesaychet, that the container becomes subordinate and bottle to the reach, to the scent contained therein. Varech lo mechayev, but certainly on the reach there's no chayev. The pachas megashiru. We don't say that the kli becomes bottle to the reach. Therefore, says the Gemara, says the Radha Ba'avim, apparently Rav Leza holds that one carries, in Rishus Ravim, a small amount of content, which is less than the required amount for Chiv Chatas, but he carries it in a container. He is Chayev as a result of carrying this container. We don't say that the container which contains a small amount, less than the required amount of content, is bottle to that content, is subordinate to that content, is secondary to the Masha B'Saychai, and is not regarded, is disregarded, we don't reckon with it. No, less holds, is regarded as a independent entity, and does not bottle to this minuscule amount of content, and regarded as a chashiv entity, as a separate item, and she's chayiv on account of the container. Once again, Amar Rav Rav, Zoy Semeres, this halacha teaches us, ha moitzi oichlin, pachas mekashir b'kli, if one carries less than the required amount of oichlin, less than the shear, in a kli, chayav. He's chayav, not because of the oichlin, but as a result of carrying the container. How do we know that? The ha, ein ba boisim. In our case, when there's no boisim, there's no fragrance present inside the kli, it is kepachas mekashir. It is equated to the halacha of less than shear, because the shear, once again, is a mashu, as Rashi, is a kolshu. There's no kolshu, there's nothing tangible here. So the reach, the smell, the scent, pleasant scent which is absorbed in the walls of this container, is considered to be less than the required amount for chiv chatas. Kepachas mikashir beklidam. Uktani chayeves. And Rav Leza teaches us that she's chayev chatas as a result of carrying this container. We don't say that the kli is bottled to the fragrance, to the scent contained therein. Because the scent or the oichel, which is less than a shear, is not significant enough that we should regard the container as it's be, as though it's bottled to the content. It is such a small amount that the container is not considered to be secondary and subordinate to that content, and therefore there's a chiv chatas on account of that container. As Rashi says, we have a Mishnah which tells us otherwise. Apparently Rav Leza disagrees with that Mishnah. Says Mar, no. Rav Ashi, Omar, no, there's no comparison. You can't draw a correlation between our case and the case of the oichlin in the container. Why? Because in our case, there's nothing at all. There's nothing present. There's no mamash, there's nothing tangible here. A scent, a mere reyach absorbed in the walls, that's really insignificant. There's no reason to think that the kli should be bottled to that. However, when we have some sort of mamash, something tangible in the kli, even if it's less than the shear, perhaps Rav Leza would agree that in that case, she's not chayiv for the kli, because the kli is bottled to the content. Let's see inside. Rav Ashi, Omar. But Alma, ordinarily, universally, I would say, Emelech, I would say Pater. That she's Pater because the Kli is bottled to its content. Even if it's a small amount of content, as long as there's some sort of tangible content there. Vishaniach here is different. The Lesilima, Moshe, Cloud, there's nothing tangible at all. Therefore, we all agree that the Kli is not bottled, and we regard it as a Maise Tzah on the container. Let's sum it up a bit. We have the Halacha of the Kaveles, spice bundle, or the tzlechesh apalyatan, the container with the balsam oil. We have three shittas, according to your mayor. They are regarded as a masir load, since an ordinary woman doesn't wear these things. And therefore, she's chayef chatas if she wears them on Shabbos, according to Rabbanon. Since a person who needs this, a person who is suffering from unpleasant odor wears this, we regard it as a tachshit. So it's regarded as an ordinary tachshit, and she's potter if she wears it. However, Mitzvah Rabbanon, she shouldn't wear it, for concern that she might remove it to display and carry in Shesurabim, contra blessed. There's no concern whatsoever, because a woman will not call attention to her embarrassing situation, she will not remove it to display, and therefore, it is mutal chatchila. However, if there's nothing contained therein, there's no baisim, all agree that she is chayef chatas on account of the container that she is carrying. Continues the Gemara. So we discuss this balsam oil. The Gemara will have a discussion which continues this thread of the balsam oil, and we will proceed with other topics regarding the Yerushalayim and the Churban. Continues the Gemara, v'reishish shmonim yimshechu. So this is regarding the Yidin Yerushalayim, that they would ignore they wouldn't pay heed to the calls of the Nevi'im, who forewarned them about the upcoming tragedy of the Churban. They would ignore it, and they would indulge in their pleasures. For instance, Vereishis Shmonim, the finest oils, they would anoint themselves with it. What exactly is this Vereishis Shmonim? Amar Yehuda Mashmo Zeh Palyotin, referring to the Palyotin mentioned now in Mishnah, the balsam oil. Moser of Yosef, is that so? That the pasuk is describing the Palyotin oil. We know, we have a brisa which tells us as follows. After the Churban, the Chachamim prohibited certain practices, and Rav Yehuda Rebava says that they were geizer, they prohibited the use of the palyotin as well. Afal palyotin gazer Rav Yehuda Rebava. V'lo yehoi deloi, according to Rav Yehuda Rebava, one may not use this balsam oil on account of the destruction of the Churban. The Chacham did not agree with this. Says the Gemara, vi amris mishum tanuk. If you say this is the definition of this pasuk, that Vereishis Shmonim Yimshechu, referring to this balsam oil which the Jews used, and it was meant to, they indulged in pleasure, so it was a pleasurable activity, it was Mishum Tanag. Amai lo yehoideloi. Why did the Chacham not agree? It was Rav Yehuda ben Bava's ban. If this was something used for Tanag, then indeed it should be included in the Gzeir of the Rabbanon that a person should prevent from engaging in this type of Tanag. According to your way of reasoning, that tainik pleasure is asr after the churban. If so, so they would drink this mizrke yayin. We have two interpretations of these words, mizrke yayin. Rav Amir Rasi, Chadama one says referring to knishkin, this certain type of apparatus, this certain type of double spouted container, knishkinin, where two people would drink wine at once. This was some form of tainug, of pleasure, of celebration. So this is something that they did. They would drink in this manner. They would drink in these glasses, and they would throw their cups one to the other. This was some tricky affair, expression of joy and celebration of pleasure. So this too is asur. Hachanami the asur. The Torah describes the Yidden were involved in these types of activities. Are you going to say that all forms of pleasure are asr? For Rabbi Rav Huna, Ikel Resh Galusa, Rav Huna came to the house of Resh Galusa. Mishasa Resh Knishkinin, and he used this Knishkinin container. And Resh Galusa did not protest. So apparently, even after the destruction, this is mutter. Ella rather, we have guidelines for what the Chachamim did prohibit and what they didn't. Not everything that's pleasurable did they prohibit. Ella kol midi de isbei tanuk veisbei simcha, anything which contains the element of pleasure and also evokes joy, gaz rabbanan prohibited on account of the churban. One is meant to minimize his display of pleasure, involvement in pleasure and joy. Aval midi de isbei tanuk, but something which merely has pleasure, veisbei simcha, is not an expression of joy. Doesn't bring joy to the person, like Gazra Abban, and Abban did not apply their ban to these forms of activities. So indeed, although they involved, they indulged in these types of pleasures, the balsam oil, these knishkinin, these forms of drinking wine. Nevertheless, the Chacham did not apply gzera to these forms of activities, only to things which encompass both elements of taina, pleasure, and simcha as well. Continues the Gemara regarding inappropriate practices of the Yidden prior to the Churban, which resulted in tragedies befalling them. The pasuk says, "Hashoichvim al mitei shein." They would sleep on the ivory beds of shruchim al arseis and spread out on their couches. Om Rabbi Zvachanin. Melamed, we learn as follows. Melamed teaches us, "Shemashtin in mayim from the same arumim." They would urinate in front of their beds, arumim, when they were undressed. Now Rashi points out that the point of arumim here is it's just an example. Why would they trouble themselves to go out, out of their bedrooms? Because they were in that position, they were undressed, so they would do it in front of their beds. So the point here is, the problem is that they were mashtin in mayim, if they were the same in front of their beds, and this was something inappropriate. This is what the pasuk means by saying shruchim al arseisim, they defiled, they made foul their beds, their bedrooms. So this was inappropriate. Megadav baravo. Ravo challenged this. He says, is this the misdeed that they committed? If so, as a result of these practices, now they will be exiled at the head, at the front of the ones who went into exile, because they engaged in this practice of doing the meraglim in front of their beds, they will suffer such a grave consequence. They will be exiled in front of the ones going into exile. It perhaps inappropriate, but they should suffer such grave consequences as a result. It's not Mavera. Ella Amar Avo, we learn as follows. The pasuk which says, Hashoichem mitei shein, usruchem al arsoisam, is indeed referring to Averis. Elo bnei Adam, referring to these people, shoichem v'shoichem zemzeh, they would eat and drink together in company. And v'doifkim mitei seim zubazu, they would attach their beds to each other. U'machlifim nesheisem zemzeh, and they would switch their wives. U'masrichen arsoisam, they would foul their beds. B'shichva zera she'enish alehem. So he would foul, he would allow his bed to be fouled with zera, belonging to another man. So indeed, these are averus, which resulted in grave consequences. Amar avo v'amrila, some say masisatan, we learned the advice. Gimel dvarim, there are three practices, which are liable to bring a person, mevinas adam li'anis, which can induce poverty, as Rashi points out. The Sar of Anis, the Sar, minister, the Malach in charge of poverty, his name is Novel. Repulsiveness. So one engages in practices that are repulsive. He attracts this Sar, and indeed this may result in poverty befalling him. So what are these three things, says the Brayis of Elohim? Hamashtin, Mayim, Fnei Metasei Orim. If one lets water in front of his bed, he neglects, he belittles Netilas Adayim, v'she ishtoi mikalosei befanav, and a man whose wife curses him in his presence. Gemara will explain. Hamash mayim v'nei metasei orim, Omar Rava lo yamarin. This is only a concern. Ela de mahader ape, if he faces. Lepuri, he faces his bed when he does so. Ava lebroi, but if he does to the facing outward, less lomba, there's no concern. Umahadar api lepuri anami, and even when he faces his bed, when he's mashtamayim, there's no concern. Le omar and ella only la ara, if he does so straight on the ground. Ava lemana, but if he does it into a kli, to contain less lomba, there's no concern. Umazalzabatisadayim, one who umazalzabatisadayim, what is this referring to? Umarava le omar, this is only a concern. Ella de lemashi yode, klau. If he neglects, his wash his hands altogether. Aval Moshe, v'lei Moshe, but if he washes and doesn't wash, meaning he is a stingy when it comes to washing his hands. He washes it just. He's not generous with the water that he uses. Left lomba, there's no concern. This will not bring poverty. For now, Milsi, the Gemara negates this. No. Dom Rav Chizna, ano m'lshoi m'loi chafni mai. I washed with a full handful with an abundance of water. V'yavali. And in return, they gave me, they granted the Meloi Chofei Tavusa, a full handful of goodness. So you see that one is meant to wash with abundance. Finally, what is the third item mentioned in the Braisa? His wife curses him in his presence. Omar Rava, al ish skei tach sheita. Why is she v'mekal him? On account of him depriving her of adornment of tachshitim. V'hani mili, this is only a concern. Hani mili hu, the slave leyavet, if he has the ability to provide and he doesn't. So, and now she's mekal him, she curses him as a result. This indeed can result in poverty. The Gemara elsewhere tells us that Rava instructs the Bnei Mechayza, be careful, ukiru l'nishaychu, grant honor, respect your wives, ki heichi, this is atru, so that you become wealthy and rich. Apparently the bracha in one's home comes as a result of his wife. He's meant to respect his wife and provide for her, and Hashem will provide for him accordingly. Continues the Gemara, Dorash Rava, Breder Viloi. This again is describing the misdeeds that were done in Yerushalayim prior to the Churban. What is the meaning of the following pasuk? By Yoyimer Hashem, Yan, as a result, Kigavu Bnei Tzion, as a result of the fact that the Bnei Tzion, the daughters of Yerushalayim, were Gavu. They were high, they were held erect, they held themselves high. What does this mean? Shoyu Ma'alchoyz become a skufa. They would walk in an erect manner. Vatelachton to his goring with their necks stretched out. Shoyu Ma'alchoyz ekev b'tzad gudol. They would walk very slowly and deliberately to attract attention. They would take small steps. Ekev, the sole, b'tzad gudol, on the side of the large toe. They walk very small steps. And this was done to attract attention. Umeh. Sakris inayim. What does that mean? They have malon kuchla. They would fill with makeup their eyes. Leinayu. Umaramzim. They would hint to the man, to the boys. Holoich v'tafayf. They would go v'tafayf. So Rashi says v'tafayf means Alashna floating. What does this mean? Shoyim ha'alchis, they would walk arucha b'tzatzor, a tall girl on the side of a short woman. This way it would stand out. The tall one would stand out, the short one would stand out, and this would attract attention. So they'd walk alongside a tall one, a short one, meant to attract attention and arouse the Yetzer. Ube raglehen ticha ta'akasna, says the Gemara, Omar b'yitzok d'ver v'ami, melami. Shematilos is teaches us that what would they do? Shematilos morba farsum and various fragrances, bimin aleim in their shoes. Umahalchas b'kshishukir yishlaim, they would walk through the markets of yishlaim. Vekivon shemagiz etzav b'chol yisrael. As soon as they reach the bachrim, b'yatois b'karka, they would stamp on the ground. Umatizes aleim, and they would spray fragrance on them. Umachlis ben yitzahara, and they would induce, they would evoke the yitzahara, they would insert into them a yitzahara. Instigate the Yetzirah ke'eres, like venom, because in a mad snake. So Mashal also points out that just like the venom is thrown by the snake from afar, so here too the Yetzirah, they transfer the Yetzirah by spraying this fragrance to the Bachrim and arousing the Yetzirah in that manner. So they would instigate the Yetzirah just like the venom which in an angry snake. So the Yetzirah burden them as a result of these inappropriate activities performed by the Bnei Tzion. My partner Seim, what tragedy befell them as a result? Kedorish Rabba Barula. The pasuk says, "Vahoya tachas boisem makia." The pasuk here is a nevuah prophesizing what is going to be the result of these inappropriate behaviors. "Vahoya tachas boisem," instead of boisem will be mak. What does this mean? Mokim shoyim esbasmes, by the place on their body where they would place the psalm and the fragrance, nasen nemokim nemokim, will turn into nemokim, into wounds and scars. Ve'esachas chagur nikpe. What does this mean? Mokim shoyu chagurus betzotzel, place where they would place the tzotzel, this band, this belt, nasen nekofim nekofim, will turn into ears of decay. Ve'esachas maase mikshe will turn into karcha. What does this mean? Malcolm show you miskashtes boy, their hair which they would style and adorn. Nase krochim krochim. So the hair which they would use to adorn themselves will turn into bald spots, patches of baldness. Ve'esachas psigel machir sak. What does this mean? Instead of psigel is referring to psochim hamavim degila, openings, the makam tashna of the isha, which brings gladness. It will turn into a yula machir sak, will turn into an attire of sackcloth. And the pasuk concludes with these words, ki yisachas yoifi. This will be instead of beauty. Amar Rabba Hayyadam Inshi, This is how people say chilufei shufra kiva. Instead of a beauty, come sores. Rashi says kiva, full of pus. So this will be the result, the consequence of their inappropriate actions. The pasuk says v'sipach Hashem kodkoid bnei tzion. Amar Yisrael Chanina. Malamed, this teaches us sheporchem and tzaras. That tzaras surfaced on them. Well, how do we see that? Ksivocha v'sipach uksivhosam by tzaras. It says la'seis osapachas. So we connect the two words and seis. Sapachas are referring to metzora, and here as well v'sipach is referring to tzaras. V'Hashem pishein pasein yore. We have two interpretations. Rav Shmuel. Rav Amar shenishbecho kisoin. That pisein, the word pisein here is referring to, we learn as Pesach, their openings, their mokim tashmish, will pour forth blood, damnida, like from a container. Shenishbecho kikitoin. V'chad Amar shenasu pishein kayar. Their openings, their mokim tashmish, became like overgrown, like a forest, growing hair, and became repulsive. Amar vid, Amar Rav. Anshei Yerushalayim, the men of Yerushalayim, Anshei Shachasayu, they were men of haughtiness, of gava. Odomar l'chaver, one would tell his friend, what type of bread did you dine with today? Bepasa mela, with bread which made of well-kneaded dough? Bepasa ena mela, not well-kneaded dough. Rashi says, referring to kneaded dough, is referring to an ashes ish. And she'ena mila, not properly kneaded dough, referring to a psula. So which one did you have nus with today? B'yayin gurdoli, did you dine with white wine? Oy b'yayin chardoli, black wine. Again, referring to the complexion of the woman. B'mesev rochav, a wide bed. B'mesev katzer, a narrow recliner, referring to the size of the woman. B'chaver toiv, a good friend. B'chaver a bad friend, referring to the beauty of the isha. Amar v'chizda, indeed, v'chulan l'znus. They were all references to the ma'is of znus that they committed. So in summary, we learned about the gzera that Chachamim applied on account of the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. One is meant to refrain from certain activities which contain both tonic pleasure and the simcha as well. So the only thing that had both elements, the Chachamim applied restrictions to those things. We learned about three possible things which can bring anias, if one engages any one of those. Number one, if one is mashed to mind, urinates in front of his bed, which is something which is repulsive and attracts that malach that brings anias. One who is mezalzel until sedayim, and one whose wife curses him as a result of him not providing her according to his ability. We learned about the Anshei Yerushalayim and the Bnei Tzion who are involved in inappropriate activities of gava and of znus. Now, it's interesting that the Gemara refers to the Anshei Yerushalayim as Anshei Shachatz, men of haughtiness, of gaiva. Why do we need to come on to the Midah of gaiva here? Simply hold them accountable for their aver of znus. So apparently from the Gemara, it would seem that a person, yeah, he's liable to do misdeeds, to do averis. A person is human, he's a moral being. Nevertheless, if he's willing to acknowledge, to accept the fact that, yeah, he fell through, he was nichshol, he'll come to do tshuva, he'll come to have remorse and to rectify his misdeed. The problem here was that they weren't willing to acknowledge. They were anshei gaiva, anshei shachatz, men of haughtiness. And they were proud of their averis. These people, very difficult for them to do tshuva. And if so, their avera was considered to be way more severe. It was multiplied on account of their attitude of gaiva and of shachatz. It was very difficult for them to do tshuva and to rectify their averis. So in summary, let's make a quick chazorah of today's daf. We began with the halach of tabas, a ring where if one carries it, he's chayiv chatas. How is that? So that depends. If an ish wears a tabas that has no signet, for him indeed it's called a masoi. Now, why is it considered to be a derech for an ish to wear this type of ring on his finger? Because occasionally he'll wear his wife's ring on the way to the craftsman. We learned that an isha who wears a tabas that has a chosam, that's not customary for an isha, it's considered to be a masoi. Why is it considered to be a derech? Hitzah, and why she have to bring a chatas? Because occasionally she will wear her husband's ring on the way to the chest. We learned that a sackcloth may be worn by anybody on Shabbos, and tefillin as well, according to Reb Meir, is considered to be a mitzvah which applies to men and to women equally, and therefore, even an isha can wear those tefillin to bring them back into safety. We learned about the halacha of a spice bundle or a container with fragrance. According to our mayor, it's considered to be a masoi, and she is chayv chatas if she should wear it. According to Rabbanon, it's considered to be a tachshut, and she is pata. However, she shouldn't wear it for concern that she might remove it and display it to a friend. According to your blazer, it's mutlach atchila because Isha, who is in this condition, who needs this type of fragrance on account of her unpleasant odor, she will not remove it to display to her friend. However, if the container has nothing in it, certainly she is chayv on account of the container. And finally, the Gemara related the various inappropriate activities which were conducted by the inhabitants of Yerushalayim prior to the Churban, and the retribution which they incurred as a result.